A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. You know, if you've ever felt a bit, well, overwhelmed by those big stories, the genius founder, the garage startup, the $1 billion, like they just knew something secret.
Yeah, that whole mystique.
Exactly. Well, today's deep dive is for you. We're going to kind of dismantle that myth. We're looking at Paul Westhead's work on entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
He basically says, look, it's not magic. It's actually a discipline, something you can learn.
That really is the core mission here, isn't it? Westhead gives you this systematic roadmap. It cuts through all the startup hype.
Right.
Instead of just charisma or, you know, getting lucky, he offers a structured path. It's analytical. He's basically proving that building something successful isn't about some innate talent you're born with.
No, it's about method.
It's about method, frameworks, skills you can actually pick up.
And think about what that means for you listening. That realization is huge. It means success isn't just like rolling the dice.
Mm-hmm.
This framework gives you actual analytical tools so you can move past the guesswork and get to real strategy. We're aiming for that, you know, that aha moment where you see success isn't random, it's methodical.
Okay, so to really get why the systematic approach is so powerful, let's talk about the author himself, Paul Westhead. He's not just some business coach churning out advice.
No, definitely not.
He's a serious academic, a leading authority in entrepreneurship research. He's been a professor at top UK universities like Durham and Warwick.
And that academic background, that's really the key difference here, isn't it? His work isn't just based on one person's story.
Right, not just anecdotes.
It's rooted in decades of proper research. We're talking thousands of studies, countless case histories, all synthesized into this, well, evidence-based model.
Yeah, unlike those, you know, guru books built on maybe one success story, Westhead's approach is objective. He takes complex academic theory stuff about entrepreneurial thinking, regional economics, all that.
The heavy stuff.
The heavy stuff, yeah. But he translates it, makes it practical, concise, but without losing the rigor. He shows you the how and the why things work in entrepreneurship.
Okay, so let's unpack the book's main idea then.
Yeah.
What's the core argument? How does he structure this whole process?
Well, he argues that creating a successful venture isn't about just one thing. It's more like this complex intersection. Four parts, really.
Four parts.
Yeah. Individual characteristics, meaning the founder's skills, the stuff they learn. Then environmental factors, like what's happening in the market, regulations.
Yeah.
Then the organizational processes you set up. And crucially, a systematic methodology, a standard way of doing things. He just completely rejects that simple idea that, oh, you just need a great idea and that's it.
Right. The light bulb moment isn't enough.
Not even close. And the book itself, it works like a guide through the whole life cycle of a venture. Chronological.
From start to finish.
Pretty much. From figuring out what an opportunity even looks like, all the way through to managing growth and eventually the exit strategy.
So it covers everything. Defining the role, finding and checking opportunities, planning, getting resources.
Exactly. Finding the right resources, that's key. Funding, the team. And then managing growth. It's really aimed at aspiring entrepreneurs, yeah, but also students, and importantly, what he calls the intrapreneur.
The person trying to innovate inside a big company.
That's the one. This gives them the tools, too.
Okay, let's dig into that structure. Part one, foundations and mindset. So right away, he tackles this idea of entrepreneurs being born special, the great person theory, he calls it.
Yeah, he pushes back hard on that. For Westhead, entrepreneurship is fundamentally about behavior and cognition. How you think and what you do.
Not who you are inherently.
Precisely. And he uses a couple of key concepts to frame this shift in thinking. First one is Schumpeter's idea of creative destruction.
Ah, yeah, I've heard of that.
Right. It's this idea that entrepreneurs are the engine of progress because they disrupt existing markets. They create new ways of doing things that make the old ways, well, obsolete.
So it's about shaking things up, not just tweaking them.
Exactly. Revolutionizing, not just optimizing, which, you know, requires a certain way of looking at the world.
Which leads to the second concept.
Yeah. Kirzner's concept of entrepreneurial alertness. This is the idea that successful entrepreneurs are somehow uniquely tuned in. They see opportunities that other people just walk right past. They spot the gaps.
Okay, but is that just intuition? Like magic radar?
Well, that's the thing. Westhead implies it's not magic. It's a trained skill. You develop alertness by actively looking for weak signals in the market, by analyzing data, by having structured ways of observing things.
Like being a detective.
Kind of. An active detective, not just waiting for an idea to hit you. You're actively searching, connecting dots others miss.
That makes a lot more sense. And it flows right into the next big section.
Yeah.
Opportunity recognition. This is where Westhead makes a really critical distinction, right?
Oh, absolutely crucial. He draws a very clear line. An idea is not an opportunity.
Say that again. Because we all have ideas constantly.
Exactly. We all have ideas. But an opportunity is an idea that's been put through its paces. It's been validated rigorously.
Validated how? What makes it an opportunity?
It needs to meet specific criteria. He says it has to be. Attractive, durable, timely, and this is vital. It must create significant, measurable value for the customer. It's about a real market need, not just something you think is cool.
Okay, so how do you validate? What tools does he suggest?
He brings in analytical frameworks, like the Timmins model. This is about finding the right balance between three things: the market opportunity itself, the resources you need, and the quality of your team.
Opportunity, resources, team.
Got it. But just looking inward isn't enough. You have to look outward, too, at the industry.
So that's where things like Porter come in.
Exactly. Porter's five forces. Timmins helps you figure out, can we actually pull this off? Porter helps you figure out, is this industry even worth getting into?
Right. Like, how tough is the competition? How much power do suppliers have? Stuff like that.
Precisely. They're like two different reality checks you need to run. Are we capable? And is the environment favorable?
Okay. Makes sense. So you validated your opportunity. The next step is figuring out where you're going, planning a strategy. Westhead has a specific take on the business plan, doesn't he?
Yeah, he thinks it's often misunderstood. People see it as this rigid document you write once for investors and then stick in a drawer.
Guilty as charged sometimes.
Yeah. Well, he argues it should be a living strategic roadmap, dynamic. The actual process of creating the plan, wrestling with the details, thinking through potential problems, that's often more valuable than the final document itself.
It forces you to think ahead.
It forces you to anticipate. And he points to modern tools that really support this flexible approach, especially the business model canvas.
Ah, yes, Osterwalder's canvas. That's become really popular.
And for good reason. It's brilliant for this kind of systematic, iterative planning. It's just one page visually mapping out the nine key parts of your business.
Like value proposition, customer segments, channels.
Exactly. And crucially, how they link to your costs and revenues. It makes you clarify your thinking and test assumptions before you sink a ton of resources into something. It's like the blueprint.
Okay, plan visualized. Now you need the fuel and the drivers. Part four, assembling resources, funding and team. What's his starting point on money?
His default setting, his starting philosophy is bootstrapping.
Meaning?
Meaning start lean. Use as little outside money as possible, especially early on. Rely on your own resourcefulness, generate revenue quickly.
Why champion that so much?
Because constraints breed creativity. When you don't have a massive pile of cash, you're forced to be inventive, disciplined with spending. And that financial discipline is gold dust for long-term survival.
Okay, I get that for maybe like a service business or a simple product.
Yeah.
But what about those really deep tech startups?
Yeah.
Or biotech? They need millions just to get started. Does he address that?
He does acknowledge that, absolutely. Okay. But the principle holds. Only go for external funding when you've genuinely exhausted internal options and your market validation is rock solid. Then he lays out the typical path, the funding ladder.
It's a ladder.
Yeah. You start with the three Fs, friends, family, and, well, fools, they say.
Yeah.
For that initial seed money.
Yes.
Then maybe you move up to angel investors. These are usually wealthy individuals investing their own money, often bringing experience too. And then for the really high growth potential ventures, you might get to venture capitalists or VCs. These are firms investing other people's money, looking for massive returns. The key takeaway is matching the right type of funding to your specific stage and your ambitions. Not all money is the same.
That's a really important point. And what about the people side? The team?
Oh, hugely critical. Westhead stresses, and research backs this up, that the quality and makeup of the founding team is maybe the single biggest predictor of success or failure.
Wow. So what makes a good team?
Complementary skills. That's the magic word. You absolutely do not want three founders who are all brilliant coders, but none can sell.
You need different strengths.
Totally. He mentions that popular shorthand. You need the hacker, the hustler, and the hipster.
Hacker, hustler, hipster. Explain.
The hacker builds the product, the tech genius. The hustler handles the business side, sales, deals, operations, and the hipster focuses on design, user experience, marketing, the customer connection.
Okay, I see. Covers all the bases.
It covers the core bases. It emphasizes that diversity of skills. Entrepreneurship really is a team sport.
That whole breakdown makes it feel so much less like guesswork. Okay, let's zoom out a bit. What are the really big overarching themes that come through in Westhead's work?
Okay, theme one, and it's kind of the title of our whole chat today.
Yep.
Entrepreneurship is a disciplined process, not a mystical talent.
Right, back to the core message.
Yeah. Success comes from methodical work, learnable skills, objective frameworks. It just takes away that imposter syndrome feeling, you know, it makes it feel attainable.
Okay, theme two really tackles that common image of the entrepreneur, doesn't it? Calculated risk management, not reckless risk-taking.
Absolutely. The stereotype is the big gambler betting the farm. But Westhead shows successful entrepreneurs are actually obsessive about de-risking
How so?
by testing assumptions cheaply and early. Like talking to 100 potential customers to validate a problem, that costs almost nothing compared to building a whole product nobody wants. They make small bets, learn, adjust, then make slightly bigger bets.
Staged commitment,
Yes.
minimizing the downside.
Exactly. And theme three is about resources. Resource orchestration versus resource acquisition.
You're meaning?
Meaning, it's not just about having resources, like lots of cash. It's about how smart you are in using, combining, and leveraging the resources you do have, even if they're limited. Resourcefulness trumps resources.
Constraints breed creativity again.
You got it. Handling constraints well forces that ingenuity you need to survive and thrive.
The book also seems to have these really potent little phrases like philosophical nuggets that capture the essence. Shall we highlight a few?
Definitely. Okay. First one, it really sets the mission. The entrepreneur's first job is not to build a product, but to validate a problem.
Validation first.
Always.
Always. If the customer pain isn't real and significant, your amazing solution is, frankly, irrelevant.
Okay, what else?
This one is huge for anyone who fears setbacks. The most successful entrepreneurs are not those who avoid failure, but those who learn most effectively from failed experiments.
That reframes failure completely, doesn't it? Totally. It's not the end of the world. It's data. It's market research you paid for with a small experiment, hopefully. It gets you closer to the right answer.
Like the lean startup build, measure, learn idea.
Exactly. And maybe the ultimate summary of Westhead's whole approach. Entrepreneurship is not about the magical qualities of extraordinary individuals, but about ordinary people who learn to do extraordinary things systematically.
That just opens the door, doesn't it? It democratizes the whole thing. It's about the system, not the superstar.
Precisely.
So let's make this super practical. How can someone listening right now apply this mindset, these tools, maybe tomorrow?
Okay, good question. Let's start with someone working inside a big company, the corporate professional or entrepreneur.
Right, they want to launch a new project or idea.
Instead of just writing a big proposal asking for budget based on, you know, a gut feeling, use the business model canvas. Focus hard on nailing the value proposition. What problem are you really solving for the customer or the company and the key resources needed?
So it builds a business case.
It builds an evidence-based case. You're showing the organization the problem you're solving and how your idea solves it systematically, not just the cool thing you want to build. It massively reduces the perceived risk for them.
Makes the yes easier. Okay, what about an existing small business owner? Maybe they feel stuck, just trying to keep things going.
They need to shift from just reacting day to day to actually planning growth strategically. Westhead's approach would push them to look at key metrics, really basic but powerful ones like customer acquisition cost.
How much it costs to get a new customer?
Exactly. And lifetime value, LTV, how much that customer is worth over time. Let's say you figure out your Facebook ads cost you $200 to get one customer. CAC was $200, but that customer typically only spends $150 with you over their lifetime. LTV, $150.
Uh-oh, losing money on every new customer.
Bingo. Westhead's discipline forces you to see that number and go, whoa, stop that campaign or fix it. It forces strategic decisions about where you spend your marketing money to ensure growth is actually profitable, not just busy work.
That clarity is powerful. I think maybe the biggest single behavior change this whole approach encourages is shifting your focus
How do you mean?
from sitting around waiting for a brilliant idea to pop into your head.
Ah, the shower moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shifting from that to actively looking outwards, to saying, I need to find a significant problem out there that people wish someone would solve.
Yes. It makes you much more observant in daily life, doesn't it? You start seeing everyday frustrations, inefficiencies, unmet needs. not as annoyances, but as potential opportunities waiting for a systematic solution.
It turns you into that problem detective we talked about earlier. You know, what really surprised me, diving into Westhead again, was just how much he emphasizes risk minimization.
Right. It's counterintuitive to the myth.
Totally. We celebrate the huge risk takers, the bet it all stories, but he shows that truly successful ones are masters of de-risking, testing, validating, iterating, making sure they're on the right track before they commit serious resources. That just cuts through so much of the startup hype.
And I think that's the lasting power of this work. It pulls entrepreneurship out of the realm of, you know, folklore and sheer luck.
Mm-hmm.
And plants it firmly in the world of scientific discipline. It gives you, the listener, confidence. It gives you a clear, actionable roadmap. It says, look, if you commit to the process, if you do the analysis, success isn't guaranteed, obviously, but it is absolutely within your grasp. It's learnable. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.